Psalm 18. The 1800s, there was a man named George Mueller. And George Mueller was a believer in England. He ran an orphanage. You guys know what an orphanage is? It's for our children who don't have parents. And they go there and the orphanage takes care of the children. And he had believers who would donate to keep his orphanage running because obviously they needed buildings and they needed heat and food and, you know, they had to buy all that stuff. They had people who worked there. They had to pay those people. And George Mueller had a conviction from the Lord that he wasn't to ask people specifically to donate to his orphanage, but that he was to ask God and then let God ask the people and put on their hearts. And so he never did. He never asked anybody for money. And sometimes he was in some rather difficult situations simply because, you know, he's got like 50 cents left. Of course, it was British money. It'd be 50 shillings. But there were all these expenses. And if you read his journals, what you find is God always provided. He never actually missed paying any of his bills. He came really close, a lot. But he never actually missed paying any of his bills. And one time, he writes that it was a meal time. I can't remember, breakfast, lunch. I don't remember which meal it was. And they had no food. But they had all of these orphans, children, who needed to eat, and it was mealtime. And they came to George Mueller and said, "Hey, we have no food." And he said, "Well, bring the children to the table." And they brought all the children to the table. And he said, "Let's give thanks to God for the food," just like they did every day. They would pray for the food. And they prayed to give thanks for the food. And there was a knock on the door. And they went to answer the door. And there was a big pile of food, like oatmeal, or I don't remember what the food was. It was something that somebody had donated and left at the door. And he went and he got the oatmeal or the whatever it was and said, "Take it in and cook it. This is our breakfast." And they took it in and they had breakfast. And more stuff came in that day and money came in that day. And he had enough to last 2 weeks. And that's how that orphanage actually lasted like that for many. Actually, it's still going today, but it lasted like that for many years. And he grew it from one house to a huge complex. And he grew it that way. Now, what do you suppose was the response when they opened the door, and here's a bunch of food at the front door? You tell me. What's the response? What would you do?
Me, I'd probably be surprised.
Okay, you're surprised, but what's your response?
Praise.
Praise. What other response is there? I mean, can you think of another response that is appropriate in that situation? I can't. I mean, I'm praising God if I'm in that situation and there's the food. We just gave thanks for it. And then here it is, right on the front door. Now, that kind of thing happened in Mueller's life all the time. And consequently, he was a man who was constantly praising God. He couldn't help but praise God if you see that kind of stuff happen all around you all the time. Now, we've been reading in the Psalms, and David, all throughout these Psalms, has found himself in very difficult situations. And asking for deliverance, and we've seen that a number of different times already in the Psalms. And today, God gives it. He gives the deliverance. So I'm going to read Psalm 18. I'm actually not going to read the whole Psalm because it's a long Psalm. It's 50 verses. And we're going to actually work through the whole Psalm, but I'm not going to read it all to you. But here's what it starts with, a preface. It says, to the choir master, so remember the psalms are songs. He says, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord rescued him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Now, the preface gives you the kind of the back, some of the background when David said this. And you actually will find this psalm elsewhere in the Bible. It's in 2 Samuel 22. And you don't have to turn there. But the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, those books are a history of David. And so you could actually read about all of the difficulties David had that these psalms talk about. You can actually read those difficulties in 1 and 2 Samuel. And 2 Samuel 22 is, we're at the end of David's life now. This psalm probably was written toward the end of his life. Saul is dead. So Saul was the king who was chasing him in the desert. And it says in the preface there that the Lord had rescued him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And so Saul is dead, Absalom is dead, who also rose up against David and started a rebellion. And Absalom, by the way, was David's son. Imagine fighting a war against your son. David did that. David is now established as king in the land. The nations around him are no longer rising up against him. So the Edomites and the Ammonites and the Amalekites and all of these different people groups that David had fought wars against, they're not rising up against David. David is at peace now when he writes this psalm. And in addition to that, God has promised to David that one of David's descendants would sit on the throne forever. And that's where David is. That's the situation. But what he's doing in this psalm is he's looking back. And so look at verses 4 through 6. I'll read those verses. He says, the cords of death encompassed me. Cords are like ropes. It's a metaphor. It's like he's death is a person that's tied him up, put him in prison. In a sense, he can't move because of death. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol. Sheol is something like the grave. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares, a snare is a trap. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Now in these verses, notice it's everything is past tense. The cords of death encompassed me. He's looking back. The torrents of destruction assailed. Assailed is attacked. They attacked me. They entangled me. They confronted me. I called upon the Lord. I cried to my God. And this is all past tense that David is looking at. He's looking back on his life and seeing what his life was like. And he also sees what his life is like now. And there's a difference. He's saying death was at my door, but I called to God, and he heard me. That's what he's saying. And then God shows up. And in verses 7 through 15, I'm not going to read it all, But if you look at it, what you see is God is making an appearance on earth. And the earth is shaking. And the foundations of the mountains are trembling because God has come. And nothing stands before God. And he gives pictures of a storm. There's thunder in verse 13. The Lord thundered in the heavens. And there's coals of fire and hailstones. And there's lightning in verse 14. And there's this metaphor of a storm when God comes. And then the seas flee in verse 15. The channels of the sea were seen as the water is parting away, and you can actually see the channel there in the ocean is the picture that David is giving. The foundations of the world are laid bare at the approach of the Lord. He's giving a picture of the power of God. I don't think he's necessarily saying these things happened. I think these are metaphors for the power of God when God showed up. David is saying, I cried to the Lord, and what happened? God came. And things changed when God came. And he then says that God delivers him. So verse 16. He, that's God, he sent from on high, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. Think of a picture of the floods in Houston. And here's the river rushing fast and you're trapped in the water. That's the picture he's given. God reached down his hand and he took me out of the waters. That's what David is saying. He rescued me from my strong enemy, verse 17, and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. My enemies were too strong. I couldn't handle them. But I called to God, and God came and rescued me. They, my enemies, verse 18, they confronted me in the day of my calamity. Calamity is trouble. But the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. He's talking about God delivering him. And then if you jump ahead to verses 27 to 45, which I'm not going to read all of it, but what I want you to notice is who is doing the work here. Verse 27, you, he's talking to God here, you save a humble people. But the haughty dies, you bring down. Verse 28, you light my lamp. Verse 29, by you I can run against a troop. Verse 32, the God who equipped me with strength, God equipped me with strength, he is saying. Verse 33, he made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure. He trains my hands for war. Verse 35, you have given me the shield of your salvation. Verse 36, you gave a wide place for my steps. And so on. You see what David's doing. God, you did this. You did it. You did this. You did that. He did this. He did that. This is what David is doing in this psalm. He's expressing, he's remembering what God did. God delivered him from death. You ever hear people talk at reunions? Do you guys know what a reunion is? A reunion is when you have, sometimes you have a family reunion. And so it's like, many years in the future, 30 years from now, the whole family gets together and they have a reunion. Sometimes high schools will do this. They'll have a high school reunion. I bet you do this in your country. Or a college reunion from your class. Your graduating class will have a reunion in 25 years. And everybody gets together and they start talking. And they start having conversations like, yeah, you remember the time in the storm of 72 when Grandpa came and pulled me out of the creek? You remember that time? Oh, yeah, I remember. Man, I didn't think you were going to make it. And that's the kind of talk that goes on in reunions. That's the kind of talk David's doing right now. You remember the time when Absalom was chasing me in the desert, and I didn't know if I was going to live tomorrow, and he had 100,000 men, and I had about 1/10 of that, and God delivered me from his hand. Do you remember that time? This is what David is doing. See, it's clear to David who has done this stuff. All these great things. There's no doubt in David's mind who is responsible for his deliverance. It's you, Lord. It's he rescued me from the cords of death. David doesn't say, look what I did. There's none of that in this psalm. Now, sometimes that's how people talk. When we look back and tell those stories, sometimes it's, you should have seen me. David is saying, you should have seen God. And there's a different attitude and a different focus in what David's doing here than there is in most people when they look back and remember some of those things that happened, those great things that happened in the past. There's no, I defeated the Saul. You should have seen me when Goliath was there, man. I picked up those stones. Boom. He went down and, man, I was great. God rescued me. I didn't do that. Now, David does say, he's been saying God's been doing all this stuff. But he also does say that he walked with God. Look at verses 20 through 26. He says, the Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. I've kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. And so on. I'm not going to read it all. What he's saying is, basically, I walked with God. That's what he's saying. And he's saying God honored that. I walked with God and God honored it. I didn't take this into my own hands. Think of the story of Saul, where David has two chances to kill Saul, and he doesn't. And he could have killed Saul, and then the whole thing would have ended right then. But he doesn't, because he says, I'm not going to lift my hand against the Lord's anointed, against the king. He's actually respecting the authority of the man who's trying to kill him. Most people would not do that. David does that because he wants to honor God. He doesn't believe it's right for me to kill the king. Even though I'm here and the king is right there and we're in a cave and he doesn't see me and I have a knife. He could have done it. And so he's saying God did all this stuff. It's being, I think, of you. I think of your stories. So I think of the TA stories. And you're looking for a TA. I don't know. And you come and we pray and God gives you some TA positions. And then what you say is, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the, and then your visa situation. And we pray and God gives you
H-1B.
Yeah, your H-1B. And we say, praise the Lord. Bing says, praise the Lord. And now your green card situation. And you're saying, praise the Lord. And there isn't any of this, look what I did. Because you know you didn't do anything. There's no look what I did. So most of this psalm consists of what God did. That's what most of this psalm is. And that's central to this psalm, what God did. But the main point of the psalm isn't actually what God did. the main point of the psalm is David's response to what God did. Here's his response. Verse 1. He says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. That's how he begins this psalm. And then he goes into why. Why? All the stuff we just talked about. That's why. And then look how he ends the psalm. Verse 46. The Lord lives, and blessed be the rock. And exalted be the God of my salvation. The God who gave me vengeance and subdued peoples under me, who delivered me from my enemies. Yes, you exalted me above those who rose against me. You rescued me from the man of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. That's the response. And so the response is at the beginning of the psalm and then again at the end of the psalm, kind of like bookends. The middle of the psalm is what God did. So the response is, I love you, O Lord. You ever tell God you love him? You need to tell God you love him. That's important. Listen, I'm all for serving God and doing stuff. But let's be honest. Without love, all that stuff is kind of worthless. It's just activity. I mean, that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, right? You can do all this stuff, but no love? What are you doing? Wasting your time. That's what you're doing. And then he acknowledges, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. The Lord God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. This is, God is this. All of those words basically get at protection, refuge, fortress, stronghold, shield, rock, deliverer. He's saying the same thing in like using six different words to say the same thing. God's my protector. And then he ends with, for this I will praise you and sing to your name, O God. His life is centered on God. He knows who did all that stuff. And you guys, God, you know what? He brought you to America. I know you had to apply and you had to go through this process and whatnot, but the bottom line is, God brought you here. Let's just be honest and admit it. Despite whatever things you did, God is the one who's responsible. God gave you a place to stay. God gave you an internship. God gave you your PhD. I know it was a lot of hard work. I'm not denying any of that. But God is the one who's going to give you your degree. God gave you a job, Marcel. It wasn't because I'm not saying you're bad, but it wasn't because of your great skills and your anything, which I'm sure you have great skills. But God is the one who has done this. Not you, not me. Praise him. That's what this psalm is doing, right? He's just saying, God did this. Praise you. I love you, O Lord, my strength. That's what David's doing. Thank him for that stuff. Stop taking credit for what God did. Let God take the credit for what he does. Now, all of these deliverances that David experienced in his past foreshadow the great deliverance that we experience through the cross. Because God has done something greater than what he has done with David. I want you to look at verse 50 in the psalm. And in verse 50 it says, great salvation he brings to his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed. Now, the Hebrew word for anointed is Mashiach. It's the word Messiah. What he's saying is, great salvation he brings to his king and shows steadfast love to his Messiah. To David and to his offspring, the descendant, forever. And verse 50 is foreshadowing the Messiah. It's foreshadowing Jesus. It's the offspring who's going to reign forever. See, remember, David had been told that God would give him a descendant who would reign on the throne forever. He had been told this. Well, that's making it into this psalm. That's part of his praise. Now, he doesn't know who that descendant is. He doesn't know his name or anything. He just knows there's somebody from me, from my line, is going to reign forever. And he's praising God for it. And he's praising God for the fact that God's deliverance is not just in the past, but it's going to be in the future too. Forever. That's Christ. That's what Christ has done. He has given us a great deliverance. So I want you for a moment, just picture in your mind for a moment, if you can, holiness, perfection, purity. Now, look at your sin. Isaiah says your sin has separated you from your God. Do you know why? It's because of what you just pictured in your mind. Because your sin and God's holiness don't go together. And the consequence is eternal death. You know, the wages of sin is death. The day you eat of the fruit, you will surely die. It's judgment. It's the wrath of God. Those are the just consequences of our sin. Guys, our sin brings to our souls a whole lot greater trouble than any of David's enemies ever brought to him. And the death that we face in our sin is worse than the death David faced time and time again from his enemies. But God rescued us, just as he rescued David from all of his enemies. And God has delivered us from this death. just as he delivered David from the death of all of his enemies. And God has been good to us in Christ, just as he was good to David in the face of all of his enemies. And Jesus Christ is God's rescue plan. That's really what the cross and resurrection are. Without Christ, we are condemned and without hope in this world. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 2. But he then says, but you have been redeemed in Christ through the blood of Christ. That's Ephesians, the next verse after. You're without hope, but, that's verse 12, but in Christ you have been brought near through the blood of Christ. That's verse 13 in Ephesians 2. And so you and I in Christ, we have experienced death, or the danger of death, and deliverance. We've experienced the same thing David has in Christ. Psalm 18 is about death and deliverance. Therefore, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. That's what the psalm's about. But David's deliverance is just a little picture of the grand deliverance that God has done. Because you were alienated and without hope in this world. But in Christ Jesus, you have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Therefore, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Because of what he's done. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing to your name. I'm going to stop here. And what I'm going to do is ask us, I'm going to have you break up into groups of three or four in a group. And I'm going to give you just a couple questions to discuss and a prayer to pray. This was Margaret's idea. I liked it, so I stole it from her.
Praise God.
Praise God that I stole?
Yes.
Yeah. So divide into groups of three or four. I don't want you to address all the questions. I just want you to pick. There are two sets of questions, and pick one of those sets of questions just for time's sake. And just discuss it in your group. And then I want you to pray what it tells you to pray there, which is the psalm. Pray verses 1, 2, and 3 in Psalm 18. Or pray verses 46 to 50 in Psalm 18. And when you pray it, change it to fit your situation. When you're going to give thanks to God, well, instead of David's, for you gave me vengeance over my enemies, and you put in your whatever you need to put in. And when we're done, just come, we'll have some food, we'll eat lunch, and we're done.